Morning. Today's daf nidos mem zayin. We find ourselves towards the end of mem vav amud beis. The gemara's discussion has been development and maturation, halachic development and halachic maturation as it relates to both a boy and a girl. For the last four blot of gemara since the mishnah on mem gimel amud beis, so we've been discussing various markers where either boy or girl gets to a particular developmental stage and what results of that. We started in infancy, back on the Mishnah Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Tinokus Bas Yom Echad, and then we moved on from there. So so far the stages that we hit over the course of the Mishnah in the last 4 days, so we talked about infancy, we talked about a day old for a boy, day old for a girl, and the various ramifications, halachic ramifications that are associated with both. We spoke about a three-year-old as it relates to a girl and the halachic ramifications of what happens when she turns three. We talked about a nine-year-old for a boy. That's already the Mishnah Mem Hamad Aleph. And that talks about the halachic ramifications once a boy becomes 9 years of age. Then the Mishnah Mem Hamad Beis talks about a 12 and 13-year-old. But truth be told is that even though that, of course, is bar and bas mitzvah, the Mishnah was really focused on the extended year. I say extension, by the way, I'm going before they're 12 and before they're 13. So from a girl, it's 11 to 12, and from a boy, it's 12 to 13. What happens during this extended year? So even though they're a katan for all of halachas, nevertheless, when it comes to nedarim, so they are given an extension. They're given the ability to make a neder during this age of, for a girl, 11 to 12, and for a boy, 12 to 13. And this ability to make a neder, so we've been talking a lot about that over the course of the Gemara. And then, of course, there's bar and bas mitzvah, which is assumed in the Mishnah as well, that once they hit the age of bar and bas mitzvah, for a girl that's 12 and for a boy that's 13, and you remember the Gemara told us that this actually is the machlokus between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar actually has the ages flipped. He has the boy being a bar mitzvah at 12 and a girl being a bas mitzvah at 13, but the halach, of course, going like Rebbe, and so at that point in time, they are now a bar onshin, they're a gadol, they're a bar onshin, and that is where we got to.
What's a bar
onshin? Bar onshin, subject to punishment. Okay, sorry I said it quickly. And then the upcoming Mishnah, which we're going to get to a little bit later this morning, is going to get to the 20-year-old. What happens at 20 years of age? So that is going to be the next marker that we're going to hit. There's another Mishnah in between, which we're going to be doing this morning as well, which is going to be talking about the developmental signs of a woman, physical developmental signs of a woman. We're going to come to that Mishnah a little bit later on this morning. Okay, that's been an overview of what we've been doing the last number of days here in the fifth parak of Nida. We're wrapping up the fifth parak of Nida. Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow we finish the fifth parak, we move on to the sixth parak, and needless to say, we are arriving at the end. The Masechta itself is all of nine parakim. A couple of the later parakim are really short. If I remember correctly, the eighth parak, I think, is two blot of Gemara. So anyway, we're rounding down to the end, and I'm sure everyone knows that. Sometime the beginning of January, we'll be done with the Masechta Nida. It seems to be popular information. Okay, anyway, we are picking it up where we left off yesterday. Where did we leave ourselves off yesterday? So this extended year for a boy and a girl, this is the Onas Nedarim, the year in which they can make a neder. And remember what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, there has to be a bedikah, there has to be an examination that they understand what exactly are the ramifications of a neder and who they're making the neder to. So once they're given this extended year, so the neder is going to be chal. Yesterday, the Gemara had wonderful discussions regarding to what degree is the neder going to be chal, meaning it's going to have a chalos, it's going to have it's going to have the kind of effect where it's going to operate on a Doraisa level as opposed to a Darabana level. We talked yesterday about is the Katan himself who made the neder. Let's say he was Makdish something, and then he ate the item that he was Makdish. Is he going to get Malkus? So these are the topics of the discussions that we had in yesterday's Gemara. But to start off our Gemara right now, all we need to do is just remember one Machlokus that we had yesterday, and that is as follows. This idea of Mufla Samach Liish, that when you have this extra year, is that a Din Doraisa or is that a Din Darabana? And as we learned yesterday, it's a Machlokus. Machlokus in the Gemara, whether it operates on a Derabbanan level or on a Deraisa level. And the Gemara discussed it a little bit yesterday, and we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday, Amar Abaye, Tashma. So right where we left off yesterday, in the Gemara, on Mem Vav Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down. So Abaye now is going to be poking and prodding to see whether or not this is operating on a Deraisa level or on a Derabbanan level, this Mufla Samach Leish, this extended year. So katan shelo hivia beis aros. So let's say you have a katan shelo beish that didn't have the simanim. So in other words, he is, let's say, somewhere between the age of 12 and 13. He didn't bring his physical signs of maturation. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain't truma, so truma. So Rabbi Yehuda says that his truma is not going to have a chalos. In other words, if he's separate, if he's mafresh, truma and maestros, so will not have any kind of status. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, asha lo balonos nedarim, ain't truma, so truma. Misha balonos nedarim, truma, so truma. So Rabbi Yossi says, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take his katnus, his stage of pre-adulthood, and we're going to divide into two parts. And that is before 12 and after 12. Right now we're just focusing on the boy, keep it nice and simple. So obviously adulthood is at the age of 13. And so if he was mafresh truma after 13, of course the truma is going to have the status of truma. But now, according to Rabbi Yossi, we're going to take now his childhood and divide into two parts. And that is before 12 and after 12. So before 12, so his mafresh truma, and it has no status whatsoever. He's a katan, and there's no chalos. Ah, but what about after 12? So Rav Yossi says that after 12, he got to the point of now what we call onas nedarim, and therefore his truma is going to be truma. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because what happens now after 12, assuming he has the cognitive ability, so now we know that his neder is going to be a neder. And as we learned yesterday, incorporated in neder is hekdesh. Incorporated in neder is also truma. Truma is giving something a status by verbally declaring that this is going to have sanctity, just like hekdesh is, just like a neder is. So now, according to Rabbi Yossi, if he is mafresh truma between the age of 12 to 13, with the understanding of what exactly he's doing, so then it's going to have status. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Now, so far we have one piece of information, but we're going to put together and synthesize a couple of pieces of information. Savrua, now they thought the following, right? Whenever the base measures, when you hear this in the Gemara, that means in the base measures, they're going to be making assumptions. And as we all know, as we learn Gemara enough, we know that some of these assumptions are going to get knocked out. But at least right now at this point, we are making the following assumptions. Kasav, Rav Yossi, Truma, Bizman, Zed, Araisa. Now there's no base of Mikdash. Rav Yossi was a late Tana. And so... Is there going to be a mitzvah of Hafrashas Trumas and Maestros min HaTorah? Does Eretz Yisrael retain its sanctity even post Chorban? And the answer is it's a machlokas. And right now we're gonna assume that Rav Yossi says that Truma Bizman is a din d'oraisa. Okay, now with that assumption, now let's think this through, and the Gemara spells it out. So now, assuming that Truma Bizman is Daraisa, so then his ability to mafresh Truma Samaisos from the age of 12 to 13 during this period of Onas Nadarim has to be a Din Daraisa. Because otherwise, how can you have him only having rabbinic power to enable and to enact and to give status to something which is a daraisa? So it must be that his ability is a din daraisa. Okay, that's very good. And so now Abaye says, I've made a case. We're going to poke holes in the case, but I've made a case. But Eli Yamar Darabana Nasigavra Darabana Masakin Tivla Daraisa. But if the Onas Devarim is only a din darabanan, how can he, with only rabbinic power, go ahead and give something status to something that requires a din Torah, meaning Truma Bizman is a din daraisa? And how can his koach derabanan affect something which is a din daraisa? Okay, that's his argument, that's his case. So the Gemara says lo. So the Gemara says, look, it's a good case, but it's not an absolutely ironclad case. Rabbi Yossi Truma Bizman is a derabanan. We can now flip on one of our assumptions, notably the Rav Yossi's of the position that Truma nowadays post-Chorban is not a Din D'Oraisa, but rather just a Din D'Rabbanan. Okay, and if that's true, so then the case now gets knocked out, and okay, and it could be that Onas Nedarim is only a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Oraisa. Okay, and the Gemara says, are we right about this? Meaning, what is Rav Yossi's position about Truma Bizman Hazeh? V'sav Rav Yossi Truma Bizman Hazeh D'Rabban V'atayin B'Seder Olam. Now the Gemara here quotes Seder Olam. Seder Olam, we gone over this numerous times in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes it very often. Seder Olam is basically history according to the Chachamim. Meaning that what the Chachamim do is that they, and when I say Chachamim, I mean the Tanaim, and to be more specific, I actually mean Rabbi Yossi. We're going to see in just a moment that the author of Seder Olam is Rabbi Yossi Chalafta. And he gives a historical account from Isa Bracious all the way to the end of Chorban Bayis Sheni. And so it goes through dates and years. And it's so it is record of, and it's not just historical record, but also it is halachic positions that go along with historical record. And so here is a quote from Seder Olam. Asher Yarshua Vasecha Virishta, Yerusha Rishon Vishne Eishlehem, Shlishit Ein Lehem. So in terms of Eretz Yisrael, so I'll give you the way they say it in the academic world, the first commonwealth, and then there's the second commonwealth. Meaning the first time we go into Eretz Yisrael, and we settle Eretz Yisrael, and there's a second time. And as far as history is concerned, so we are going to be obviously covering a lot of history in a short amount of time. So the first time we go into Eretz Yisrael, that's with Yehoshua. And Kivush and Yerusha of Yehoshua and Bnei Yisrael. So that is what's called Yerusha Rishona. Shnia, of course, is that after 70 years of exile, so we come back to Eretz Yisrael, Ezra, together with a fraction of Klal Yisrael, and they rebuild the Bayis Sheni. Okay. How long did Yehoshua's Yerusha last for? A long time. Right, 400 years before the Bayis Rishon, approximately 400 years before the Bayis Rishon, and then an additional 400 plus years of Bayis Rishon. So it's over 800 years. Yerusha Shnia, a shorter amount of time, 420 years of Bayis Sheni. Anyway, but there is no Yerusha Shlishis. Now that is Seder Olam. There's no Yerusha Shlishis. Which what does that mean? It means that when we were taken out of Eretz Yisrael with the Yerusha Rishona, so what happened to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? It went away. What happens when we come back in for the Yerusha Shnia? So we give the Kedusha back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, this sounds very similar to the discussion of Kitcha, Kedushas Mizbech, it's Kitcha, Kedushas Yerushalayim, it's Kitcha Lashaita, Kitcha Lasidlavo. That is a common topic in the Gemara. However, what we could do is make the following distinction. Our discussion over here is talking about Eretz Yisrael. The Yerushalayim discussion is talking about the Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, and they don't necessarily go hand in hand. Not necessarily. So anyway, we're talking about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and so here we're learning together in Seder Olam that after Ezra and his contingency comes back to Eretz Yisrael and invests Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha, so that's it. Meaning, the Kedusha there remains, and the Kedusha does not go away. The Amr of Yochanan, now, I'm sorry, before I get to the next point of the Gemara, and so what does that tell us? That tells us now that even after Churban Beis HaMikdash, and even after many Jews have been exiled outside of Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, there is a Chiyuv of Trumos HaMaisos Min HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael still remains even after we were driven out from the Kivush Shnia. Right, it's certainly a curiosity, and it demands obviously a consideration. Kivush Rishon, Yehoshua conquered all of Eretz Yisrael and divided all of Eretz Yisrael. Kivush Shnia, that was significantly weaker. Ezra comes back in with only a fraction of the Jewish people. He doesn't conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. He only takes some of Eretz Yisrael. It's not done through conquest, and so it's interesting. It's curious that the first Kivush, the Kedusha, just simply goes away. And the second Kivush, it remains there in perpetuity according to Seder Olam. Fine. What comes out from all this? According to Seder Olam, the Kedusha remains. And now the Gemara is going to do the following analysis. It's very simple. Avam Rav Yochanan Mantan Seder Olam Rav Yossi. So we know that the author of Seder Olam is Rav Yossi, meaning Rav Yossi Chalafta. And so that means that according to Rav Yossi, what is the level of Trumos Umaisos Bezmanazer? Adin Da Araisa. We go back to Abaye's argument. Abaye now is making a wonderful argument. And Abaye says, look, if the Katan who has arrived at the point of Onas Nedarim, okay, that's better. So if the Katan gets to the point of Onas Nedarim, he's between 12 and 13, and he can make a Neder, and the Neder is effective min HaTorah, so that's very good. He, according to Rav Yossi, he could be Mafish Rumas HaMaisos. That shows you that Onas Nedarim, Muflas HaMachlish, is a Din Daraisa. Now, the way we poked a hole in the argument is we said, well, maybe Rav Yossi holds that Truman Bezmanes is a Din de Rabbanan. But we just learned Seder Olam together. So the Gemara says, Rav Yossi Tanila Velo Savala. So the Gemara says, look, Rav Yossi authored Seder Olam, that part's true. That part is not up for debate. However, what we could say is that when Rav Yossi puts together Seder Olam, he records statements that are Tanaitic, but are not necessarily his own personal position. We see Rabbi Huda Hanasi do that with the Mishnayos all the time. Rav Yehuda Hanasi takes a position, puts it in the Mishnah. Now, he's the editor of the Mishnah, but sometimes he'll record positions in the Mishnah which he himself doesn't agree to, acknowledging that this is the, quote-unquote, the mainstream approach. So Rav Yossi Chalafta, when he does Seder Olam, same thing. So this may not reflect his own personal viewpoint, but he nevertheless he records it in Seder Olam as the viewpoint that is, quote-unquote, mainstream. Hachinami Mistabra. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, we're not just throwing out a Svara, we can validate it. How so? With the following. The Brisa says, Isa shenidma o shenis chamsa b'su'or shel truma. Let's say I have dough, where there was a mixture of dough and truma, right? Either just regular truma or su'or shel truma or yeast of truma, right? The sourdough of truma. And so what we have over here is a classic tarovus. We have a mixture where a little bit of truma and a lot of regular dough. Now, what do we know regarding the halachas of bittul? So we know that in order to affect bittul, normally you need majority, 2-1. However, when it comes to truma, so the chachamim amped it up. In order to be mevatel truma, you need 100-1. And so so what I have over here is a mixture where it certainly there is a majority of dough against truma, but it's not at 100-1. And in halacha, we refer to this as dimua. And that's in fact exactly what the Mishnah is describing. Isa shenidma. So we now have this mixture of dimua. So now I have a dough that is made up of dimua. Am I going to have to be mafrish chala from this dough? Now, this part requires a little bit of thought, and Rashi takes us through this. I'll say the Rashi outside. It takes a little bit of thought. Truma, if it is unqualified truma, I do not take off, the Kohen does not take off chala from that truma. Meaning it already has kedusha, and there's no need, when he's making dough with this truma wheat, there's no need for him to be mafrish chala. It's putter from chala. Okay, that's the halacha. Now over here, let's take into consideration what we're looking at right now. We're looking at dimua, which means it's truma that has not been nullified. Okay, and here's where it gets a little bit complicated. Now it's true it didn't get nullified, but that's only because of the chumra de rabbanan that the rabbis amped up the ratio of bittul where they need 100-1. Meaning that min ha-Torah, was there bittul? The answer is yes, there was bittul. As long as I have more chulin dough over that of the truma dough. So really the truma dough now is nisbatel. Min ha-Torah. Midrabana not, but min ha-Torah yes. So that means to say now, do I have to take off chalav? Do I have to be mafresh chalav? So min ha-Torah, the answer is going to be yes. And that's what the Brice is teaching us. Let me read it again. Isa shenidma shenis chamsa b'se'or shel truma. Chayev is bechala, it is chayev and chala, ve'enu nifsels b'tful yom, and it will not become disqualified if touched by tful yom. We know the halach is that a tful yom, who touches truma, tful yom is somebody who was tameh, tovel in the mikvah, but waiting for sunset, so he's partially tahor. We typically give him the status of a sheni l'tuma, so if he were to touch truma, he'd posel the truma. If he touches this, the truma does not become posel. Divrei Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So according to the Shitas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, so what are we looking at effectively? We're looking at truma that min ha-Torah was become batal, and so therefore, do I have to be mafrish chala from this tarovis? Yes. Is it going to be subject to the psul of a tful yom? No. Okay. Now, that is the starting point of this discussion, but it's the next part that we're interested in. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, poter min ha-chala. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say that it is putter from chala. That you don't have to be mafresh chala. Now, you don't have to be mafresh chala. Why? Meaning the argument that we just gave for a Meir Rav Yehuda is a really strong argument. Was there bittul min ha-Torah? Yes, there was bittul min ha-Torah. So the truma now is min ha-Torah negated. And if the truma is negated, so then of course I have to take off chala. So what is the position? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon says that no, this mixture, you don't have to take off chala. You don't have to be mafresh chala. How could that be? So, Savrua, so once again, here we go again. When the Chachamim were looking at this Braisa, so here's the assumption they made. Now we're going to assume that there is a correlation. If the din of Truma is min ha-Torah, then Chala is as well. If the din of Truma is midrabanan, so the din of Chala is midrabanan as well. Sounds reasonable, although you know every time the Gemara makes an assumption and spells out the assumption, you know we're going to backtrack on that assumption. But right now, it is a reasonable assumption. And now the Gemara says, "Yeah, Mar Bishlam Kasev Rav Yosi Chala Bezman Azed De Rabbanan Asa Dimur De Rabbanan Mafka Chala De Rabbanan." So the Gemara says, "So good. So now at least, if we're right, so I totally understand Rav Yosi. What's behind the sheet of Rav Yosi? So let's start off with the assumption that Chala Bezman Azed De Rabbanan, and so therefore, if Chala Bezman Azed De Rabbanan, because Truma is De Rabbanan, meaning that's our assumption, and so therefore Chala is Med De Rabbanan. So then I understand." That was the truma that was mixed in this pile, in this batel? The answer is yes. But do I have to take off challah? Well, challah already is a din derabanan. And so therefore the chachamim did not require me to be mafish challah from this mixture, even though min hatorah, the truma was nisbatel. Fine. So the ela'i amar challah daraisa. So the Gemara says, but let's think about it. If you want to say that truma is daraisa, and then you're going to correlate that with challah being daraisa, so asi dimur derabanan mafke chala daraisa. So now the dema over here is only a din derabanan. The chiyuv chala hafreshes chala is a din daraisa. Obviously, the hafreshes chala, which is a din daraisa, is going to override the dema, which is only a din derabanan. Obviously, and so it must be that Rav Yosi is of the opinion that the din chala is only a din derabanan, and that's why the dema is going to, so to say, win out. So the Gemara says, okay, that was all a wonderful argument, but the assumption doesn't have to be right. Rabbi Yosi could be of the opinion that Truma Bezman Azez Daraisa, which again is Pashas of Seder Olam, like we learned moments earlier, and he could hold that the Din of Chal is a Din Darabanan. How? How do you do that? How do you separate the two? The Gemara explains. I found the Talmidim in the yeshiva, and they were saying, so they actually invert. They say that Truma Bizman is a din derabanan, and the din of Chal is a din daraisa. How did they arrive at that conclusion? So because look, we go into Eretz Yisrael. It took Yehoshua 14 years, 7 years to conquer, 7 years to divide. So that means that the Eretz Yisrael was not primed for the halachas of Trumas and Maestros until year 15. Fine. That's as far as Trumas and Maestros are concerned. What about Challah? Challah was effective immediately. Why? Because in the Parsha of Challah, the Torah opens up with the words Bevoachem. Upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael, Yechayv and Challah. So already you see that historically, we made a distinction between the Chiyuv of Challah and the Chiyuv of Trumas and Maestros. Challah kicked in immediately. Trumas and Maestros did not kick in until 15 years later. So now, this gives credence to the argument that Truma nowadays could be a Din D'Rabbanan, but Challah could be a Din D'Araisa. Because Truma is contingent on our autonomy in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the kivush and the kivush and Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. Once we lost our autonomy over Eretz Yisrael, so now the chiyuv of truma goes away. Min haTorah, the rabbanan is still in effect, but min haTorah goes away. Ibachallah, the mitzvah of challah is not contingent on kivush Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore challah can be a din daraisa. That's one way to argue it. The amina lehu ana afilaman dar mishuma bezman zed daraisa challah de rabbanan. And he said in response, you know what? I could also distinguish. I can go in the other direction. Detanya I bevoachem yachol mishenich nesula shnayim v'shlosha meraglim. If the Torah says bevoachem upon entrance, when are we going to be chayv in the mitzvah of challah and nefreshos challah? So that would be you could have thought, right? The first person, maybe two, maybe three people, are walking into Eretz Yisrael as we're going in already at that point in time. You're chayv. Or we can go even a step further. Let's say we sent spies, which, by the way, we did. Right? Yoshua sent spies. So already at that point in time, there's a chiyuv challah. So tamalamer bevoachem, bevias kulchem, amarti v'lo bevias miktzaschem. So that means to say that, no. Bevoachem, b'loshen rabim, is teaching us, we need the entire Jewish people to go into Eretz Yisrael. Then and only then, you're chayv in challah. V'chiyaskinu Ezra, lo kulu salik. And look, Ezra comes into Eretz Yisrael. And how many Jews come in with him? A very small percentage. Approximately 42,000 Jews came in with Ezra to build Bayis Sheni. The vast majority of the Jewish people remained in Bavel. Even though the exile was only 70 years long, nevertheless, they're chayav in, sorry, even though 70 years have come and gone, so the vast majority of the Jews did not go back to Eretz Yisrael. And so we see that when it comes to the Echiv of Challah, there is a requirement that all the Jews have to go into Eretz Yisrael, and that wasn't true by Ezra. So the din of Challah could be that it doesn't apply min haTorah, and yet Truma has nothing to do with population, how many percentage of Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, etc., etc. And so therefore we could argue that Challah is Daraisa and that Challah is Midrabanan and Truma is Daraisa. Okay, so when all said and done, all this, everything we just did, right, the first half of today's shir, dedicated to the question of Onas Nidarim. Onas Nidarim, this extended year where, for a boy, it's from 12 to 13, and from a girl, 11 to 12, where they make a neder, the neder is going to be effective, assuming they understand what they're saying. Is that a din d'oraisa, or is that a din d'rabbanan? What the Gemara has been trying to do for the last amud is argue that it may operate on a d'oraisa level, although the Gemara has not conclusively done so. Okay. Let's start the next Mishnah. Okay. As we know, our Mishnayos, as I said in the beginning of Shir today, our Mishnayos are going through developmental stages. Now, we're really effectively looking at years. That's the prime goal of the Mishnayos, to look at the years and what happens at 1 day old, 3 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old, etc., etc. And the next Mishnah, which we're going to be starting a little bit later on this morning, is going to go to 20 years of age. This Mishnah now is going to take a break from years, still the same theme of development, but it's now going to talk about actual physical development. The Mishnah over here and the upcoming Gemara's discussion is going to be looking at the woman and physical development, looking for signs of developmental maturation. We know that when it comes to a woman, there are three stages of a woman in terms of her development, halachic development. When from birth until she's 12 years of age, she's what is called a ketana. She's a minor. Still under the jurisdiction of her father. Her father at that point in time can marry her off. Her father's entitled to her mitzias, etc., etc. Right? All the Gemaras and Ksuvas go through all the rights and privileges that the father's entitled to. That is her earliest stage of what's called a ketana. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's what's called a nara. Right? The Torah uses that term all the time, and it's interesting that it really only encapsulates a six-month period in her life. The Torah never actually says that the nara stage is for 6 months. That's based on Torah Shabbat Peh. It's based on a statement of Shmuel that the stage of nara is for 6 months. So from 12 to 12 and a half, she's what's called a nara. So this is a tweener stage, right? We have a modern term called adolescence. Okay, not exactly appropriate for this discussion, but it's a tweener stage, meaning she is a gedola, she's an adult. And as far as halach is concerned, she's chayav in all mitzvahs in the Torah. You know, pater from the mitzvahs essay, she has man grama. She's subject to all onshin. She's punishable for anything that she does, meaning she's a gedola. But in terms of jurisdiction, she's still under the jurisdiction of her father during the stage of nara. And then at 12 and a half, she's now a gedola. She's an adult. Another term to describe it is a bogeres. So, and at this point in time at Bagros, she now is a full adult and independent, meaning financially independent, and she's no longer under the jurisdiction of her father. So these are the three stages of a girl. What the Mishnah is going to do is provide for us physical maturation points in which we can identify when she's a ketana, when she's a nara, and when she's a bogeres. It's clear from the Mishnah that although I can describe it in terms of years, 12, 12 and a half, above 12 and a half, but it's clear from the Mishnah in the upcoming Gemara that it also is connected with physical maturation signs. And so how exactly does it work out? Meaning, let's say she hits the markers in terms of years but doesn't hit the physical maturation signs. Does that mean that she's not at the next stage? And the answer, sorry for giving such a weak answer, possibly. Okay, I'm not totally sure about that, but there clearly is a connection between her development and her physical signs of maturation. Mashal chachamim b'isha, there is a metaphor that the chachamim gave to a woman. Now, this Mishnah should sound familiar. The language of the Mishnah should sound familiar, because in our Masechta, this is now going to be the second time we had this kind of language of mashal chachamim, the chachamim give an analogy. Where do we have such language before? Yud zayin amud beis. Okay, so mem zayin, yud zayin. If you want to help remember. And Yud Zayin Amud Beis, so the exact same Mishnah and the exact same language. Mashal chachamim bi'isha. The chachamim gave a metaphor to how to understand the anatomy of a woman. So back then we were talking about the anatomy of a woman. What is the bias? The cheder, the prosdur, the aliyah, right? And presumably back then we also struggled in terms of giving voice to what that means. But presumably it's talking about the uterus. We struggled with exactly what the aliyah is. Might be the bladder. We talked about it back then. That was 30 short days ago. Meanwhile, here on Mem Zion, so we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to give the chacham. We're going to give a mashal. But this mashal is on their development. So mashal, chacham, and b'isha. So they gave a mashal in terms of the development of a woman. And basically, on the growth of a fig. If you have a fig tree in your backyard, so you may appreciate this mashal a little bit better than me. But anyway, in terms of the fruit of the fig tree, the fig itself, so it grows in stages. So it buds, and then grows a little bit more, and then it gets to full ripeness. Okay, and in that regard, it's easy to understand the mashal. But being that I don't carefully watch the growth of the fig, so I'm sure that a lot of the mashal gets lost on me. But anyway, paga, that's the budding of the fig. Bochel, that's the early stages of the development of the fig. And semel, and that's the late development, that's the finishing development of a fig. So this is a mashal, it's a metaphor. And so basically a woman in her maturation going from childhood to adulthood is going to be following in three stages that are similar in metaphor, in symmetry to the development of a fig. And the Gemara is now going to go through each one. Paga, so Oda Tinokis. So the Paga, the budding, so at that point in time, she's still a Tinokis. Bochel, Elo Yemeinu Reha. And Bochel, the intermediate stage, she's a Nara. And Bezu Amru, Avia Zekai, Bemitziah Seva, Maisiah Deva, Afaras Nedareha. She's still under the jurisdiction of her father. Her father will, any findings that she had, goes to the father. Her earnings go to the father. The ability to annul her vow, that's the father's. Semel, we are now at the third stage of the development of the fig. The fig is fully ripe. So Kevan Shebagra, Shuvain Lavir Rishus Ba. So that's for her is Bagras. Her father no longer has jurisdiction. Ezu Simonim. Now, the Gemara wants to know, okay, so the mashal is wonderful. We understand three stages. We understand the ramifications of the three stages. But what does it look like in a woman? And the Gemara over here, the Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to be giving a graphic description of the development of a woman in order to identify these markers. This is halacha. It's Torah, right? Even though we're going to be describing a woman with detail, with graphic detail, nevertheless, it's all part and parcel of the corpus of Torah. And it's, slightly uncomfortable, but it's, it's Tari. So the Gemara now, the Mishnah starts off by pointing out what the Simanim are. Now, the Gemara is going to be giving Simanim for which stage? It's not clear in the Mishnah. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi insists that we're talking about Semel, that we're talking about the third stage, so that these markers, these Simanim are going to be for the third stage of a woman. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos disagrees, but we'll stay with Rashi. So Ezu Simanim, so Rav Yosef, Amar Mishiala, Kamatachas Adad, when there's a fold under the breast. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Mishiatu Adadim, when they start inclining downward. But Azay Omer Mishiachshir Hapitomus, when the actual nipple starts blackening. Rabbi Yosef Omer Kadeshiehe Nosin Yado Ala Ukitz Veushokea Veshoalach Zor. There's a certain pliability when it comes to the nipple where you press in and it takes a little bit of time for it to go back. So these are the developmental signs. Obviously, what you saw over here, there were no less than four opinions in the Mishnah, and obviously they all dealt with the breast of a woman. Stay tuned, because the Gemara actually is going to go be even more graphic in its description. That's coming up in just a little bit. Paga odati nokis kedichsiv. Now, the Gemara here wants just a little bit on the wording that's used in the Mishnah regarding the mashal of the fig. So these are terms that we should know. Okay? So we may not know them, but they're all familiar to us if we know Tanakh and Mishnayos. Okay, that's an if. But anyway, here we go. Pagauda odati nokis kidichsiv hateina chanta pageha. So Pasuk and Shir Shirim describing the really early stages of the budding of a fig. Okay, and there you see the word pageha. So that's how we should know the word paga. Bochel elo yimeyanurim kidinana teinim mishiavchilu. So as far as bochel being an intermediate stage, so that we should know based on the Mishnayos and Masros. Again, if we know our Mishnahs. So the Mishnah says that when is the fig subject to Trumas and Maisos? So when it's Mishi Yavchilu, there's the word Bochel. So that is the intermediary stage of development. When the heads of the fig turn white. Another pasuk that speaks to the idea of bochel. Okay, pasuk in Zechariah also using the word bochel. And again, this idea of intermediate development. And finally, tsemel, that third term used in the Mishnah. Where does that term come from? So actually over here, we're all going to get a pass. So we don't have to know Tanakh, we don't have to know Mishnayos. All we have to know is that Semel is actually, it's a Rashi Tavis, it's a mnemonic. Kamanda Amar Yatsasa Malaya. It's a mnemonic for Yatsasa, that the Tsadi, she exits, Malaya, we're at the fig. The fig has reached the point of full maturity. Yatsasa Malaya. So it's not a word per se, it's just a mnemonic. Ezuhu Simanim. So what are the Simanim? Rashi over here is says that we're describing now that of Bagros. Rabbi Yosef Galila Amar Mishiala Akemet. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Lo Mishiala Akemet Mamash Ela Kedei Shetachzir Adel Achara Veniris Kemishiala Akemet Tachad Adad. Shmuel gives an actually more specific way of giving a diagnosis of when exactly she gets to this intermediate stage. Now Shmuel's a doctor, so he could just you could just imagine him like being in the, in the examining room, right, doing a simple examination of Bagrus, and she has to have her arms behind her head, and still there's going to be a fold in that area. Okay. Shmuel Badak Ma'amte. V'yayv Le Dalazuze Demei Bushasa. Now, Shmuel did this examination with his own Shivcha Kananis. Shmuel, the Amoraim own Shivcha Kananis. We have numerous Gemaras that make this point very clearly. Even though it's post-Churban Bayis Sheni, and even though they're living in Bavel, but still, they owned a Shivcha Kananis, and he did an examination on the Shivcha Kananis to see whether or not she has arrived at the stage. And then, it was embarrassing for her, and so he paid her the Demei Boshes. Which brings us to a really interesting side discussion in the Gemara, and that is, the Shivcha Kananis, is she entitled to Boshes? And so it's a debate, and Shmuel's position is, she's entitled to Demei Boshes. Mind you, by the way, the interesting part over here is that when you pay boshes, you figured it out already. When you pay boshes to your Eved Kanani, your Shivcha Kananis, so it goes back to you. So what Shmuel then did is he took the money out of his left pocket and he put it right in the back in his right pocket. No, but that's not true. In other words, Shmuel gave her the money. In other words, to make the point that you're chayv in boshes, even though in principle the money really does go back to him. So Shmuel atame dam Shmuel olam em tavodu lavodan satim v'lo labusha. And so Shmuel was clearly of the position that we do not have the right to be mevayish them, and so therefore, if they are subject to busha, they're going to get paid.
What's the purpose of it? What is the purpose of the exam? Why is it needed?
I don't know. The Gemara doesn't give us context. Okay. Shmuel miyachil lehem. Now, as far as Shmuel was concerned, so because he felt that that we are responsible to make sure that they don't suffer busha, so Shmuel made sure that they had monogamous relationships, and they had one partner exclusively. Okay, in other words, so that they would be husband and wife, like husband and wife. And Rav Nachman machlif lehen. Now Rav Nachman disagreed with Shmuel principally about the boshes, and so therefore he would always switch partners. In other words, he would have Shivcha Kananis and Eved Kananim, and every now and then he would shuffle them around. Okay, and I know it sounds distasteful. It sounds a little insensitive. But he felt that we are not makbid on their boshes, and therefore he behaved in that manner. Rav Sheshet,
shouldn't they keep the rules? Their comments are almost semi-Jewish.
Yeah.
So why would they mix?
But they don't have an institution of marriage.
But potentially they can become Jewish.
That's true. But they don't, as a Shivcha Kananis and as an Eved Kanani, they don't have an institution of marriage. Huh. Okay. Rav Sheshet, Masalem La Ravi. Rav Sheshes would go even further than Rav Nachman, and even give them off to Arabs. V'amar lahem as daharu miYisrael, and his instructions to them were very simple. In other words, make sure that you're with Arabs and not with Jews. Okay, so machlokis amongst the Amoraim, whether or not we are responsible for the boshes of the Eved Kanani, Shivcha Kanani, Shmuel, of the position that we are, and the other Amoraim here, Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes, says that we're not. Okay. Side discussion. Back to the woman and the description of her development. Rabbi Yossi Amar V'chulei My Oketz Amar Shmuel Ukso Shodat. So the oketz over here is the nipple, and it's really the posterior section of it. Tana Rabbanan Elu Simani Bagrus Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Tzedek Omer Mishis Kashkeshu Hadadin. Over here, the Tosefta does the same thing our Mishnah is doing, giving us the simanim in terms of identifying when the woman has now reached that next maturation point. And again, I will assume that Rashi over here also is working with the assumption that we're looking at the third stage of development. Rashi said it back in the Mishnah, and I assume with this Tosefta, Rashi would maintain the same position. So, Mishis Kashkeshu Adan, the first position of Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Tzedek, is when the Danim are shaking. Rav Yochanan broke all mer mishiachsif rosh hachotem. So when the end of the dad starts to blacken, mishiachsif, it's kind of like, now the Gemara says now blacken, that's not the beginning of her bagros, that's at a later stage. The Gemara says it can't be. Alam ravashi mishiachsil rosh hachotem. When you have the nipple basically being able to start having cracks in them so that the baby can nurse. Rav Yosef mer mishitakif ha'atara. So when there is something around the edge of the nipple. Rabbi Shimon Omer Mishnisma Eich HaKaf. And Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that you have the kaf where it starts to it starts to protrude. Now the kaf over here, you can see this in Rashi. So now we're at the point now where we are no longer looking at the dadim in terms of being the markers of maturation, but rather we're going to the genital area. And so the Gemara over here now is pointing to the fact that that also will show signs of development. V'chein, Hayy Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Shloshes Simanim, Nanu Chacham, Mivisha, Melamata, Kenegda, Melamala. And in fact, you could basically look at the two regions, the Dadim region and the genital region, and they're both going to be showing signs of maturation, and actually they correlate one with another. In terms of, you're going to be seeing the signs of maturation both in the Dad region and also in the Tachton region as well. And the Gemara goes through it. Pagam alamala biyadu shelo hivishtei saras. So let's say if the dad region is paga, meaning there is no maturation there, so then there's not going to be saras in the lower region. Bocham alamala biyadu shevishtei saras. If in the dad region it's bochel, which we already described back in the Mishnah and in the Brisa as well, so then you know that shishtei saras. And again, that goes back to what we know. The second stage of development is nara, and nara sheishtei saras because she's a gedola. As we already pointed out, it just happens to be that she's in this tweener stage where on one hand she's a gedola, but at the same time she's under the jurisdiction of her father. And then semo milamala biyadushnis machekaf. And so when it's semo milamala, so that's the later developmental stage that occurs in the dad region. So then you know nismachekaf, so that you know that there's now a protrusion that's coming out in the lower region. My kaf amaravuna makam tapuch yesh lamala miyosa makam kevishim agadalas mismach vaholech. And so basically what the Gemara is describing is that when she approaches this third developmental stage, so in the lower region, there's going to be, right above the genital area, there's going to be a area that protrudes just slightly. Shalu is Rabbi Halacha Kedivrei Mi. And so they asked Rabbi, okay, and the Halacha falls like whom? Shalchluhu Kedivrei Kulan. And he says, I'm sorry, Shalchluhu Kedivrei Kulan Lehachmir. And he says the Halacha is like all of them, and in order to be Machmir. Now, what exactly was Rebbe's response? Meaning, I can read his words, I can translate his words. Which is that, whichever position, there are numerous positions that are given, and when you hit one of those points, we're going to be machmir. What does that mean exactly? Rashi really struggles over here in terms of giving pshat in the Gemara. He heard a pshat, he doesn't like it. You can see the beginning of Rashi, where he offers a pshat which he himself does not like. And I'm not going to go through the first half of Rashi. I will, however, go through the second half of Rashi. Lishna Achrina, after rejecting a first pshat, he says, I think this is what the Gemara means by this. Halacha kedivrei kulan, I'm in the Rashi, divrei amaschel lahachmir, about 10 lines down, it starts with Lishna Achrina. Halacha kedivrei kulam lahachmir, hevio achem in esamanim halalo vafilo hakodim shebekulam, velo evias kulam, bogeres veina bogeres. Now remember, by the way, this is Rashi Lushitaso, because all these simanim are ways to describe when she's a bogeres. And we're looking basically at the point where she's leaving the jurisdiction of her father. Okay, so now, let's say she shows one of the signs that we just described. There were many different signs that we described. So now, has she left the jurisdiction of her father? I'm going to give you a really clear answer. Maybe. Maybe. Meaning because she has already one sign, and that one sign tells us that she may have left now the jurisdiction of her father. But there's a host of other signs to look for, and she hasn't hit those other markers yet. So, she's now in a state where she may be under, still under father's jurisdiction, or she may be independent. And that's what we mean, says Rashi, when we say we're going to be machmer. So she bogeres veino bogeres. Veim kibo avi abas kedushin v'kisha hi esatzma la'acher tzricha get mishnehem. And consequentially, what does that mean, says Rashi? Let's say her father accepted kedushin on her behalf. Let's say she also accepted kedushin on her behalf. So who's the lucky man? We don't know. And who's going to be the unlucky man? Both of them. In other words, because both of them now are going to have to give her a get, because based on the uncertainty of who had jurisdiction over her at that point in time. Was it the father? Was it her? We don't know. And they both have to give her a get. Right? They came and she get. And Rashi goes on to explain what we now understand. Is that because she only hit one of the marker signs, she may have left the jurisdiction of her father. We just simply don't know. She's in a state of suffix. That's the pshat in the Gemara that Rashi prefers. Rapapa, back to the Gemara. Rapapa Rav Chinna Bered Ravika Chad Masni Ahav Chad Masni Achatzer Tzuris. Now, in terms of this last line of Rebbe, Rebbe's machmir for all opinions, and we just saw with Rashi what that means. So some say, good, that's what Rebbe was going on our discussion. The point of maturation of a woman, and we're going to be machmir for every one of the opinions. Another position is that Rebbe was commenting on something else, and that something else is a totally different issue. In order to be chayv in shumas ha'maestro, so what do you have to do? You have to take the produce and bring it into your house. It has to be roeh penei habayis. What if you bring it into your chatzar? So if you remember, a number of times throughout Shas, we said that the chatzar is also kovas. It also is going to establish now that this produce is chayv in shumas ha'maestro. Is that min ha'torah? Is that min derabanan? It's a discussion. But what we're going to say now clearly is that when it goes into the chatzar, even though it's not your house, the chatzar is a koveya. Now your chatzar means what? Just a field? So it has to have the properties of your house. It has to be an enclosed area. It has to be a secure area. And so what is the definition of security? So go to any one of the meetings here in the shul regarding security, and you're going to hear various opinions of when is the area secure. Okay, so similarly, we're going to have a debate amongst the Tanayim. What exactly is a secured courtyard where now then when you bring the produce in, it's going to be chayv and shumas and maestros. Okay. So, chad masni achatzer tzuris did not. Ezu chatzer tzuris shechayevus b'maiser. So, when are we at the point where we're in a secured courtyard? Rabbi Shimon omer chatzer chatzer sheakel nishmarim betocha. So, it's a chatzer tzuris where you're comfortable leaving your kelim out there in the courtyard. So, my chatzer tzuris amar rabba brachan amar vyochan shekein bitzur moshivin shomer al pesach chatzer. It's called chatzer tzuris because it follows the minug of tzur. Tzur is the name of a place. I think it's called Tyre. No, Baruch Shekivanti. So I think it's called Tyre. Anyway, so there in their courtyards, they had guards. So it was a secured area. So there, that is Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint. And there's going to be a lot of other viewpoints. Rabbi Kiva Amar Kol She'echad Posech Ve'echad Noah Petura. Rabbi Kiva says that, look, if we don't have one person responsible for the key, and one person locks, another person unlocks, Petura. That's not a Chatzar HaKovas. That's not a secure Chatzar. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Kol She'in Adam Bosh Le'achol B'socha Chayeves. Let's say you're comfortable eating in this chatzer because you feel secure, you feel privacy. Oh, that's a secured chatzer. Rabbi Yosi Omer Kol She'nichnas La'vein Omrim La'mata Mevakesh. If let's say you walk in there and you don't get questioned by anybody, that's a public area. That's not a chatzer and petura, and therefore it's going to be exempt. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shei Chatzer Zuluf Nimizim. Zuluf Nimizu. And the final opinion over here, Rabbi Yehuda, is that you have two chatzeros, one interior to the other. So the more interior one is more secure. And that's going to be chayev and shumas amaisos. The exterior one, that's less secure and not going to be chayev and shumas amaisos. Okay, so a plethora of positions in terms of what exactly is a secure area. Gemara concludes, Shalu is Rabbi, halachi kedivrei mi, amalu halachi kedivrei kulan lahachmir. And so Rabbi says, okay, and with all these positions, so what we're going to do is, if you have a courtyard that follows any one of the guidelines that we just pointed out, so you're going to be machmir, you're going to have to take off, and you're going to be chayv and shumas and maestros. And again, over here, what does that mean, machmir? So again, take a look at Rashi over here, which again, a little bit of a struggle in terms of what exactly is the chumrah, why we're going to be machmir. Okay, and Rashi gives a pshat, and you can see the Rashi inside. Anyway, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the new Mishnah, Bas Esrim. Tomorrow we're going to be up to 20 years of age, and Amir Tashem, tomorrow we finish the Perek, and we start the new Perek.